Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the night's main event.
Brett Allen.
Brett Allen here. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. I'm excited about our guest today, actor and storyteller David Lasher. He has a fantastic podcast with the amazingly talented, as well, Christine Taylor. Hey Dude, the 90s called. But he's also been a part of some iconic fabrics of pop culture. Hey Dude, of course. White Squall with Ridley Scott, which I just recently rewatched. And a bunch of other things he has been involved in. He's making the rounds lately, it seems, talking about his podcast, which has caught fire with everybody. And I'm sure you're getting impaled with requests to talk. So thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about the podcast. I mean, it's really good. It's funny. We've shared some of the same guests. And I'm interested to know, just like right out of the gate, what was the interest in starting a podcast? It's not necessarily a rewatch, but just centrally themed around your show that you were on. But you also have other fantastic guests as well to talk about their projects also.
Yeah, I was a guest on Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling's 90210 OMG podcast to recap my episodes with them. And then Tori wasn't able to host one of the episodes, so they asked me to be a guest host. I became friends with their producer, and we talked about what we might want to do together. And I didn't want to like do a look back on Sabrina or Blossom or Hey Dude or any of the shows that I did. I thought it would be more interesting to look back on a decade, because I have three kids and they're really fascinated by the 90s.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, all of a sudden an NSYNC song is trending on TikTok and now they're fascinated by NSYNC.
I love it.
And I said, and the amount of guests that we could have, it could be really a fascinating, eclectic group of guests, actors and musicians from that decade. And then people our age or my age are very nostalgic for that time. It was sort of the last time before we all got distracted by our smartphones and YouTube and everything else. So we all remember the same things. So anyway, I gave the producer, Amy, she said, you need a female co-host. And so I gave her a list of options and she said, oh, if you can get Christine, then we have a show. And it was the right time for her. She was very interested. And so we're having the best time doing it.
And that's one of the things I love about your show is when I can listen or watch clips is you guys are just having the best time. Like, I think that the chemistry is really fun. And I am a child and a product of the 90s. I have a 9-year-old and he is similarly becoming interested in things. Like, he can't grasp the concept that we didn't have Wi-Fi, that we didn't have Nintendo Switches and such immediate access to technology, which I'm sure you can relate to as a parent, which I think, you know, it's just, it's funny for me, but for him, it's like, he doesn't get it. You know, he's just kind of mystified.
Yeah. I mean, every generation, my parents before me were like, you know, they had a very different world than we lived in. And so to look back on this decade is we've just had the most amazing guests. And Christine and I just did this thing called 90s Con.
Oh, yeah.
On the East Coast. And I had my Sabrina cast there and the Hey Dude cast. And we all had so much fun. Like, we all had dinner together. And I had never done a convention like that before, but the audience or the, you know, the appetite for 90s you know, media and content and nostalgia is real. And then Christine and I just got back from New York. I can't say what show, but we just did a huge talk show where they let us take over the talk show and interview the host on our podcast, which is going to drop on Friday. But yeah, I'm not surprised because the 90s were such a great time. And I think people are really fascinated by it or nostalgic for it.
Yeah, I think so too. It's interesting, like with the boom in the last couple of years of the Rewatch podcast, which I think is fun. And I can't remember who was the first in the game for it, but it's neither here nor there. But like since then, there has been a lot of it, you know. And for me, I'm 49, who's in that range of remembering those things. It's fun and interesting to have fun memories. But one of the things I love about your show is obviously it's you and Christine, which is the big thing, but you have some very interesting guests and you're able to talk about what they've done and also even sometimes how they fit into that fabric of the 90s. When you're just as a podcaster, when you're looking for guests, like what is your rubric, so to speak, as far as who you want to interview and who you want to go ask for? Because I think the podcasting audience I have that listens to this show will find it interesting on how you decide who you want to have, because it's limitless really in some ways of who you could potentially have on your show.
Yeah, it could. For us, it's people that made a mark in the 90s, but we don't have to stay in the 90s. We can talk about, we like to start from the beginning. How did they get started and go through the 90s? And then what are they doing now? So it's not just about their work in the 90s, but that is the, they have to have made a mark in the 90s. And, you know, some of our guests, you know, like Ben Stiller, it started in the 90s with the Ben Stiller Show, but has gone on to do amazing things. But we wanted to talk about how, you know, they won the Emmy Award for that show and how that launched his career. Or even some of the guests where I didn't know what I was really going to talk to them about. I did some research, but like the Nelson brothers from the band Nelson ended up being one of the most fascinating interviews I've ever done, because their family, you know, their dad was Ricky Nelson. Their grandparents were Ozzy and Harriet. Their family's in the Smithsonian. They're like a national treasure. So their childhood, you know, they had George Harrison was their neighbor and would come over for breakfast every morning. And Bob Dylan was crashed out on their living room couch every night. You know, like stuff like that, where it's a jumping off point. The 90s is a jumping off point for us. And then we just really go deep and get amazing interviews.
Yeah, they've all been very fascinating. That Nelson one was very fascinating. That's the most recent one I've listened to. Because I, again, you know, having that sort of timeline in my life, I think it's very cool. Now, you mentioned you have kids. I'm interested, have they watched things that you've done? Are they fascinated by seeing you on screen? What is the vibe? Because I always love talking to actors who have kids that do watch their work on occasion. Melissa Joan Hart was telling me, you know, like her kids are like mildly interested in what they're doing, but I'm always interested to know what kids think of their parents' work if and when they get a chance to watch.
I mean, my kids are aware of everything I've done, but no, they're not going back and watching Sabrina episodes. They're very busy kids. You know, I have two in college. One is in eighth grade, and they're very supportive of my current work. They're aware of, you know, what I'm doing right now. I think, yeah, they've seen our shows, but like there's possibly a new Blossom show happening. So now they're aware of that. They know Melissa Joan Hart very well because we're just good friends. And they're aware of Christine because she's been to dinner at our house. But no, they're onto their own content. I think they mostly watch YouTube and TikTok. I don't even know if they watch like traditional shows or movies anymore.
Yeah, that seems to be the way most content is consumed these days, is through social media. There
Yeah,
was a
like little
joke.
clips.
Yeah, it was funny. I think, I don't know if you're familiar with the Holderness family. They're on social media. They do a lot of family related content, but they made a joke when the whole TikTok thing was coming out about it possibly being banned. My point is that, like, one of the jokes was, how are we going to watch movies, 2 minutes at a time if TikTok goes away? Because that's how, like, for example, White Squall, no kidding, out of nowhere, clips started coming onto my For You page of that film just randomly. I know it's crazy to say. And you came up in one of the clips, of course, Scott. Like, it was just so wild. And it got me excited because I knew we were going to be talking soon. So, yeah, just like literally out of nowhere, like, I'm seeing clips of White Squall come up on my For You page. That's crazy how that even works. I don't know. It's insane.
Yeah, like we had Lance Bass on the show a few months ago, right before NSYNC put out that new song for the Trolls movie. And my youngest daughter got all excited about it because she knew NSYNC from TikTok. This talk show that Christine and I will be on Friday, my kids know it from TikTok, but they watch it in clips. They don't watch it on TV.
Yeah.
The full hour, they see clips. And you know, even Saturday Night Live like has stayed current because you can watch sketch by sketch on Instagram or TikTok. As long as people are watching, I think it's great. And I talked to my daughter on the way to school today, and I said, "What isn't it cool for like a 90s artist if their song is suddenly trending on TikTok and they have no idea why?" And she's like, yeah, but my daughter Chelsea is an influencer because her babysitter Jax, do you know that whole story?
Oh, yeah, that's your daughter. Okay. The connection just got made. Yeah, I know exactly who it is.
Right,
Yeah.
right. Jax, they used to do TikToks together while Jax was babysitting for her. And Jax then blew up. She signed with Atlantic and she wrote that Victoria's Secret song for Chelsea and they dropped it on their TikToks together. And, so Chelsea gets paid money by record labels to promote a song. And so like, I don't know, if you get trending on TikTok, it's such a big deal. You reach such a wider audience than people that are, used to just go download a song or go to the, Virgin Records or something.
Buy a CD, buy a
Buy a
cassette tape.
CD, yeah.
I showed my kid, we were at thrifting this past weekend, and there were VCRs there, and his mind was just like blown at the fact that you had to actually put a physical something into a something. It's crazy. I pay more for streamers than I do probably for traditional cable, but that's a whole nother conversation. So your daughter is hilarious, by the way. That whole thing that cursing and just coming on stage with her, that whole thing was just really fun period of time when that was all popping on TikTok. I the connection I just made in my brain, that's very cool. And how fun for you to have just that be a part of your life and have them experience, storytelling or whatever you want to call it in their own special way. I think as a parent, that just has to feel really good, yeah, to just see them succeeding in that way.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, now I'm very well versed in YouTube and TikTok and social because of Chelsea. She's way more advanced than I am, but it's also a fine line of like, she's a regular kid. She's at school, she's with her friends playing tennis this afternoon. But last night at 10 o'clock at night, there was an audition on our desk that we hadn't gotten to. I'm like, you want to do it? You want to try it? And I'm not going to be a stage parent. I'm not pushing her at all. She does
Yeah.
what she wants. But sure enough, we worked for an hour on this really cool new movie and she crushed it. And we had so much fun. And as long as it's fun for her and it's stuff that she wants to do, I think it's amazing. Yeah. And she's such a naturally, she's just a talented kid and a really smart kid. But, she has a good balance.
That's very cool. And the fact that you're supportive of your kids who are interested in this, but as you said, a stage parent, not pushing or forcing them. My kid, we do YouTube, we do interviews. He's recently become interested in vlogging, so we've been doing fun little vlogs together, you know, just kind of around where we live here in Colorado, and we've got some things set up. So it's very cool. Well, I want to ask you, like, you've done so many things, but going back to the beginning, like, what was maybe one or two things, David, that interested you in acting, that made you pursue it, like, and go, this is something that I wanted to do or be a part of?
It was theater for me. I did a few plays in New York. I grew up in Westchester, New York, and there was something called Scarsdale Summer Music Theater. And I spent two summers doing The Music Man and Good News, and just loved the camaraderie, the rehearsal. I loved everything about it. And that's kind of, and then I got signed by an agent, and then would run into this New York City right after school, you know, starting in like eighth or ninth grade. I'd run around on commercial auditions, pilot auditions, meet up with friends that I became friends with who were also doing it. You know, people you would know now, but like, it was like a community. And anyone that's interested or their kids are interested in getting into entertainment, I say start with theater, because they'll either love it or they won't love it.
But that's yes.
You'll learn if it's for you.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good sage advice. And I always like to hear that part too. Well, with all the happenings of the podcast and the resubmission or rebirth of your shows and the popularity of all of it, I'm interested to know, just personally, like, what has your experience been? It sounds like it's been positive, but I mean, you've been doing things. Obviously, you've been parenting and doing shows here and there, but now it seems like this whole thing has become a boom. What is your thoughts on it? Are you having fun? Are you enjoying it? Not leading the witness at all by any way, but I'm just curious, like, you as just a human being who lives a normal life every day, and now it's like you're getting podcast requests and you're doing the cons, and it's just become a boom for you for sure.
Am I enjoying being in the entertainment business?
Yeah. Like, are you enjoying like all the attention of the show and like the podcast? Like, or, I mean, I guess my bigger question would be like, what has your experience been overall? It's been a positive experience. Just having people rediscover this, all this work that you've done, particularly now with the podcast, and it's coming to a much bigger and broader audience than maybe was before.
Yes. Listen, our business has gone through a very rough time.
Yeah.
It really never came back from COVID. It started up again, and then we went through a 10-month strike. So I'm also a writer and director and still acting. I mean, I worked on a show called The Other Two.
Yeah.
Right before the strike ended, the show was nominated for an Emmy, but everything then got shut down. I'm trying to work on things that I can control outside of the studios and the networks, who seem to be in big trouble. I mean, I don't know what happened, if the Netflix culture had them overspend, but really people are not buying shows right now. They're not making nearly as much as they used to. Like, I have two pitches that I've had that I thought were slam dunks. I pitched two studios that are in distress. They can't buy anything right now. Wow. I'm adapting two novels into limited series that I'm hoping to take out and start pitching. But the things that I can control are my podcast. With the help of iHeartMedia and Christine, we can make the best podcast we can make, whether there's a strike or whatever is going on. My daughter Chelsea's YouTube channel, we just launched a new show called Facts, where she interviews celebrities and influencers, which is such a fun new show that we shoot. We're shooting one on Saturday. Her first guest was Jax, that dropped last week. And I'm enjoying it because I'm working on the things that I have control over.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about the broader entertainment business, it's not fun right now.
No, it doesn't seem to be. It's interesting because we've noticed too on this side, really a downtick in a lot of different things. People aren't necessarily as available as they were before, or they're just not doing press at all. So that's, again, another big reason, you know, why I'm thankful that you were able to do this, because I know there's a lot happening and we appreciate you making the time. I do want to ask you one last question as we wrap here. I told you that White Squall came up and you did a lot of films and televisions, but any fond memories of working on that film in particular, because it was so intense. It was Ridley Scott, and it was a really big film at the time. I remember it very clearly.
Yeah, that was one of the best experiences of my life. It was a 6-month shoot all over the world. And let me start by saying, when Christine and I launched the podcast, Hey Dude, the 90s called, she said, let's start with the Brady Bunch cast and the White Squall cast.
Yeah.
I called all the guys, and I'm telling you, Balthazar Getty, Ryan Philippe, Jeremy Sisto, Jeff Bridges, they all jumped on and did an hour interview with us. And we recapped the whole shoot. But, you know, we spent 2 months in the Caribbean on St. Vincent, St. Lucia, Grenada. We spent, I think, 6 weeks on the island of Malta off of Sicily. We were in London. We were in Cape Town, South Africa. So, and then Jeremy was telling, when we were done with the shoot after Cape Town, we had a layover in London. And Jeremy Sisto said, guys, let's not go back to LA. Let's go to Paris. And it was at the time where you could just change your ticket
instantly
at the airport. And I think five of us, oh, and Ethan Embry as well, we all went to Paris and just like on a whim and had nowhere to stay. We didn't know anyone, but we were young and we were just having the greatest time together. And those are like my fraternity brothers. You know what I mean? Like, we're forever bonded. And they don't make movies like that anymore.
They don't.
Movies are now like, you know, 8-week shoots. This was like grandiose Ridley Scott production all over the world for 6 months. You don't really get that much anymore.
Yeah. I mean, and to be at that young age and to have money, you know, and just like be able to say, we're going to Paris for,
let me clarify. I think I was the only cast member that had a credit card. In a youth hostel, we tried to sleep on the lawn at the Louvre one night because we had nowhere to go, and we got chased by dogs and security guards. And Jeremy tells the story, but yeah, we did not go to we weren't flush with money, but we didn't. I didn't have a family and a wife and people waiting for me at home.
No,
like if I had to do that now, it would be much more of a sacrifice. But at the time, it was the greatest.
Yeah, that's just a great film. One day, hopefully, I'll introduce my son to that movie. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know you've been busy doing a lot of things. Podcasting can be very time consuming, putting things together and picking guests and, you know, just putting it all together. So thank you so much. Very cool stories, my friend. Any big guests that you're excited about coming up that you can share for the podcast? Obviously, you have your big episode this Friday with Christine and your project, but anybody that you're excited to talk about, or maybe a dream guest that would be fun for you to have on the show.
When is this going to drop? When are you dropping this?
Well, probably right away, quite quickly, but all of it depends on when. Up to you and when your manager wants us to release it. There's, you know, we're pretty free moving over here for sure.
Well, whatever. I don't think it's a secret, but we have Drew Barrymore coming on the show, and she invited us onto her talk show to take over the half hour and interview her for our podcast on her TV show.
That's cool.
So yeah, so that should be airing this Friday on the Drew Barrymore show, and I will be iHeart will be dropping Drew for a full hour on our podcast. I guess this coming Monday. But yeah, we've been trying to get Drew for so long, and we love her. And Christine is good friends with her, So it was for her to come to us and say, let's cross promote and have you guys on and I'll come on you. And it's going to be awesome. It was a great interview.
That's very cool. Well, David, thank you for your time. Congratulations on all of this and best of luck and break a leg on those other creative ventures as well. And family is always fun and just enjoying everything. And summer is around the corner. So thanks for your time, David. I really appreciate you hanging out today.
All right. Thanks for having me, Brett.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
Of major proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.